parents can hear me.
Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast. Long-form reviews exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, J.Y. Pod, asking you to join me as we take a step back. This edition of the Grateful Shows podcast takes us back to March 20th, 1986, a Thursday night at the Hampton Coliseum in Hampton, Virginia. We'll do the first set this episode, and then feel free to join us next episode for the second set. Shall we go? Grateful Shows Tour Book 2, Show Number 2, a meditation on the Hampton Coliseum, Hampton, Virginia, Thursday, March 20th, 1986. Just a Box. Set 1. Touch of Grey. Night 2 in Virginia. We'll be excited if anything hits like Playing in the Band or Visions of Joanna from last night. Because even on a bad night, during the peak Hairspray era of the 80s, there's still nothing like a Grateful Dead show. Or so it is written in high school yearbooks all across this great land. And Canada too. Don't forget about Canada. A Touch of Grey opens the show. Touchheads won't be minted for another year. Folks attending their first show tonight are narrowly granted a pass to the land of hardcore. While the vibe is uplifting, beware of short-term memory loss. And Bob sounds a bit too eager, but who's nitpicking? Actually, we are. We came to this time and place to file a report so the children of the future may also bask in the love and light of a Dead show. Someone's got to do it. Fellow attendees are in too deep to think clearly. Presently, every show is the best show. In reality, the best show is always the next one. For as long as you can say that, consider yourself lucky. High energy on a Thursday night in Virginia. The crowd provides the band with plenty of good vibes and an opportunity for interdependence, a vital element of any Grateful Dead show. So we've got that going for us. We will survive is a mantra, but the garbled, jumbled word salad that follows is definitely not. A cause for concern or something to be shrugged off is overexcitement. We elect to shrug, hop, skip, and jump into the fire. Join us if you wish. We are slipping down the same downward slope. Seriously, how will we get by if our leader can't even bark out the correct orders? The crowd cheers for it anyway. They act out personal versions of perfection created in their minds, and lyrical deficiencies be damned, these fantasies will finish as intended. Co-pilot Bob takes over. His mission, save us from ourselves. Little Red Rooster. Right into the next song. No time to dwell on the past, even though the Grateful Dead is the ultimate symbol of it. Bobby dives deep inside himself to unleash the hounds. A slender girl stumbles down the stairs, revealing three knobs of her spine as she bends to fix her sandal. The guy next to us smiles knowingly, revealing a gold tooth that gleams just a little too eagerly. Now it's all about lustful desire, but the look but don't touch vibe has ruffled some rooster feathers. We want, they shout. We want. Bob responds as best as he can with some cool cat slide action. For now, it keeps the roosters at bay, but the finger will have to come out of the damn dike someday. Brink goes a-swearing. Hey, little red rooster. You ain't shit to me. You think you're a stud, boy? The sparkle in our neighbor's mouth indicates that yes, he definitely is. Brent gives him a needed cue. He half dances and half saunters towards the aisle, hunting for his prey, who will soon find themselves ensnared in that nasty slide guitar web. As for the slender girl, she doesn't stand a chance. The air is thick with blues and sexual frustration, which begs the question, since when was the Dead a trailer trash bar band? The accumulated quicksand of discarded peanut shells at our feet makes it difficult to move. The Coliseum feels smaller. We sense a pool cue pressing into our ribs. At the other end stands a man, larger, hairier, and sweatier than us. No, sir, we weren't even looking at your girl. Oh, yeah? She says you was. His breath reeks of whiskey and retribution. Tell you what, you play her in a game of pool. This is an order, not an invitation. Win, and we'll let you go free. Lose, and well, he points to a group of guys in overalls with tan lines, hinting at a lifetime of outdoor work and lifting heavy objects. The war cry is on. Rack 'em up, Billy. The only way out of this mess is for the song to end, which doesn't seem to happen anytime soon. But time is relative, and this girl ain't no hustler. In fact, she can't play for shit. Her breasts clearly visible beneath the loose cotton shirt give the old heave-ho as she scratches on the brake. We're about to run the table and take the girl into our private hen house when Bob decides to call it quits. Damn, we were so close. Friend of the devil. A gathering of the hounds. But these hounds do not bark in response to some metaphorical avian love-in. Something far darker lurks in the foggy night. Garcia knows. He's been hounded for years, and he also understands too well that, eventually, they always catch their prey. The question remains whether we, due to our proximity to the big guy, are also firmly in their sights. Like a herd of deer, we run and scatter. Remember, you don't have to be the fastest, only faster than the slowest member of the herd. But the slowest decides to zig while you zag. You chose wrong. The hounds of hell have found their target. Of all the deadheads at tonight's show, why? Deep within the layers of this song is something greater than the symbolic hounds of hell. Right, Jerry? They've been here for years. Something that all the chemical mixes and denial of reality you stuff into yourself can't erase. We've arrived at the crossroads where a choice must be made. Do business with the devil, knowing it's an unwinnable deal, or ignore him and live with the fear that he, the most evil creature, will catch up with us anyway. Despite the fear it has produced, this version has elevated the set. It is patient, almost serene. But the serenity is a product of resignation rather than one of satisfaction. At least for now, the layers of music wash over us, lulling us to sleep on soft blankets to prevent pine needles from piercing our backs, covered only by a ripped t-shirt. You may get some sleep tonight, but don't be fooled by a pretty keyboard melody or a skilled solo. The devil has been active since the dawn of time. He was here before humanity, waiting for the weak to fill his coffers, so he could remain ruler of those who refuse to admit he exists. So sleep at your own peril. All over now. A rocky start dispatches the last remnants of the devil as Bob finally gives us the green light to delete past relationships. He's already moved on, and you know full well that the little red rooster is on his third or fourth relationship while you remain consumed in regret and remorse. Take a lesson from the rhythm of this song. Look around. There's no point crying over spilled relationships. The Grateful Dead gives you permission to become the victor. Try it out. Honestly, freedom has never felt so good. No more power struggles, pain, waiting, or being known simply as the girlfriend. It's over for him, too. The wasted months trying to gain the upper hand. Now you'd rather cut ties than spend another minute together. Call it freedom. We are born free, and free we shall leave this earth. It's that in-between phase that causes so much trouble. And when our time comes, and we are forced off this mortal coil, as much as we want to bring our loved ones with us, they must stay behind to go through our belongings and understand what our lives truly meant, both to them and to us as individuals. Unfortunately, our legacy more often than not includes large piles of bulky garbage that a family member must hire a professional to dispose of, or, in some cases, a few meaningful items of value passed down through generations that serve as reminders of people we cared about. Hey, Bob says he used to love her. We did too, and honestly, it wasn't worth it. She felt the same, and we'll never cross paths again. It was a clean break. As clean as Jerry, Bob, and Brent taking turns to let us know that the decision was correct. Not every relationship needs a noble purpose. We won't worry about it longer than it takes to listen to this song. We'll dance, groove to the beat, clear our minds, and move on. This performance of All Over Now doesn't deserve much post-show discussion, but it was a hot version, one that will sadly be lost to the sands of the show itself. Still, for those truly hurting, it has been a lifesaver. Roe Jimmy. Jerry kicks off the introduction to Roe Jimmy long enough for even novices to recognize it. He seems satisfied with the slower-paced songs tonight, including his own two relaxed tunes in a row. And as we unwillingly admit, we too are turning into the old man getting old, we've come to understand this mindset. There's no harm in taking some well-deserved downtime during a three-show run. Jerry has donned his thinking man's cap, and all the thinking men's horses and all the thinking men's men join in his exercise, stopping and starting wherever he does, attempting to extract more meaning in the slow burner than actually exists. Bob fans, meanwhile, know better than to try to interfere. This isn't the time or the place. Honestly, their puppy dog energy isn't welcome here, at least not right now. Jerry Solo sings a lullaby to a lost child. His words may lack conviction, but the music has already guided the boy through tough times, offering comfort and safety during distress. Now his head rests on his mother's lap, her worn uniform matching the old sofa where they sit. Oh, baby, sometimes Mama gets tired, working two jobs to keep a roof over us. Is it too much to ask you to stay out of trouble? The principal called again today. I know. It's never your fault. If only your father were here, he'd handle you. The boy listened silently. His mother's eyes showed no emotion, a common sight since his father died. A bass guitar's faint rumble drifted through the dark silence of their small apartment. Then another muffled sound. It gave him an idea. Yes, of course you can clap me to sleep. He covered her with a blanket and got to work. Me and my uncle. Two false starts, one for me and the other for my uncle. Or not. It must be tough trying to carry the load, constantly trying to rally the crowd when their energy has been drained. You know Bobby can read the room. That's why he decided to go on this journey with his uncle in the first place. His mother told him it'd be a learning experience, and being the youngest of six children, honestly, she didn't think much about what consequences might follow for the pair. But anyone who's followed the Grateful Dead for any length of time knows exactly where the story is headed. Tonight's version is sponsored by the letter D, because D stands for desert, dusty dirt, drinks for all, and, in the end, dead relatives. Ouch. Mexicali Blues. And if you followed the Grateful Dead for some time, you also know that once our hero has finished off his uncle, he's left with few options. The most common choice is a brief stay in the bleak border town of Mexicali. Unfortunately, the devil is ready and waiting with a bottle and a girl who's just 14. Her name is Billie Jean, but she's not my lover. This show has already presented plenty of intriguing lyrical themes, including unsettling concepts like fratricide, the occult, a jilted lover's revenge, and big red cocks terrorizing the hen house. Undeterred, we continue to soak it all in with a big grin on our faces. Sweaty and dirty in the mind, tonight's had a thinking and drinking vibe built in. The tunes fly by quickly, leaving little time to dwell on any of them. Besides, why let the message get you down when it's only the first set? Althea. Jerry continues to paint a grim picture. His message is clear. Pay heed to the dangers that lie ahead. What is happening with this set? It is as if we are oblivious to an unseen hand guiding us towards safety. It is carefully placed warning signs, but looking around, all we see are colorful balloons, the lovely deadheadettes of Virginia, and wait, a huge hole where the lyrics used to be. Don't cheer for that. We felt pretty stupid when we couldn't remember which other movie we saw that actor in. Our spouse didn't cheer then either. We spent the rest of the video driving each other crazy with answers that kept getting further and further from the correct one until we just turned it off and she left to do a crossword puzzle. The unseen hand puts more pressure on the show. It bulges at the side like a herniated disc. It's painful to move, throbbing and unable to decide which positions may offer relief. Jesus, we're worried they might just stop the song right here. If they truly wanted to save it, they could simply market it as the karaoke version, but who in their right mind would want to sing along with this shit? There's clearly something broken inside Jerry tonight. No matter how much we bury our heads in the sand, the air is thick with smoke, signaling we're getting dangerously close to the edge. At least Jerry remembers this space is getting hot. He's fried, though. Man, could someone give the guy a hug? He needs it. The Grateful Dead are reduced to a tiny ember of a flame that once soared to the farthest reaches of the galaxy. This Althea has had enough. The bulge presses uncomfortably onto our brains, causing genuine worry about our mental health. In fact, this Althea perfectly illustrates why last night's visions of Joanna was so incredible. How did Garcia get through that tune without missing a word? Come on, Althea, tell us with a straight face that this space is getting hot. Maybe from embarrassment, but definitely not the heat from a blazing first set. Two thumbs down and another major one from the unseen hand that puts the nail in this coffin of a show. Box of Rain. Now we're going to prove that practice makes perfect, says Bob. What, and do that lame Althea again? Just keep your smug mouth shut. It's been running the entire set, and honestly, it's getting tiring. We heard you. We hear it all. The band also heard it, just as loudly as they have throughout their entire career. And as they tend to do, they reach for the ultimate Joker card tucked inside their collective sleeves. Why? because in just a few seconds, it's tabula rasa time, also known as day zero for you Latin agnostics. From this moment on, the Grateful Dead universe will undergo a profound transformation. Potential, possibility, what ifs, and the gifts of love are all on the table. If you're willing to understand that, then we, as a culture, might progress. And please step aside, because it's time for Phil, our goofy godfather, to sing a euphoric rainbow, a song of hope and love, of cleanliness, hyperventilation, and hugs from strangers. The air shatters with thousands of sighs of ecstasy. Reverberations swell inside the Hampton Coliseum, releasing an orgasmic shudder that penetrates even the most jaded tour head's membranes. Where's that guy with the gold tooth? We want to hug him too. Oh, he's right here. Of course, his sweaty body feels fantastic. 10,000 people sharing such a sacred moment of ecstasy is better than going it alone, and 777 shows is a long time to be gone. Not even Aleister Crowley himself would dispute that. However, the importance of the number 777 involves many complex aspects, none of which we are ready to tackle right now. Numerology, Thoth Tarot decks, the Tree of Life, and even the idea of a perfect spiritual entity, those can all wait because, damn, visions of huge jackpot letters blazing in front of our eyes cover it all. Lady Luck personified. We are truly the lucky ones, not yet old enough to see the pain of watching our parents fade, the silent ravages of time stealing life from their bodies. What do you want us to do for you, to see you through? Right now, not a damn thing. Just let it ride, my friends. The harmonies, the lights, the magic manufactured inside the building, having its JFK moment. This is the moon landing, the space shuttle disaster, an unshakable mark in time that means nothing to most people, but everything to us. The future will hold many more versions of Box of Rain. Performance-wise, many of them will be better than this. But years from now, when it seems like the world has forgotten about light, hope, possibilities, and long, heartfelt hugs from strangers, any deadhead there can still recall, with perfect clarity, exactly what they were doing the day they heard the Grateful Dead play Box of Rain in Hampton. So that does it for the first set. Thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast. Be sure to tune in for the second set right here on Grateful Shows. See you next set. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.